Uncanny Tales by F. Marion Crawford. Read by Roy McCready. The Dead Smile. Chapter 1. Sir Hugh Ockram smiled as he sat by the open window of his study in the late August afternoon. And just then a curiously yellow cloud obscured the low sun, and the clear summer light turned lurid, as if it had been suddenly poisoned and polluted by the foul vapours of a plague. Sir Hugh's face seemed, at best, to be made of fine parchment, drawn skin-tight over a wooden mask, in which two eyes were sunk out of sight and peered from far within through crevices under the slanting, wrinkled lids, alive and watchful like two toads in their holes, side by side and exactly alike. But as the light changed, then a little yellow glare flashed in each. Nurse MacDonald said once that when Sir Hugh smiled, he saw the faces of two women in hell, two dead women he had betrayed. Nurse MacDonald was 100 years old. And the smile widened, stretching the pale lips across the discoloured teeth in an expression of profound self-satisfaction, blended with the most unforgiving hatred and contempt for the human doll. The hideous disease of which he was dying had touched his brain. His son stood beside him, tall, white, and delicate as an angel in a primitive picture, and though there was deep distress in his violet eyes as he looked at his father's face, he felt the shadow of that sickening smile stealing across his own lips and parting them and drawing them against his will. And it was like a bad dream, for he tried not to smile and smiled the more. Beside him, strangely like him in her wan, angelic beauty, with the same shadowy golden hair, the same sad violet eyes, the same luminously pale face, Evelyn Warburton rested one hand upon his arm. And as she looked into her uncle's eyes and could not turn her own away, she knew that the deathly smile was hovering on her own red lips, drawing them tightly across her little teeth, while two bright tears ran down her cheeks to her mouth and dropped from the upper to the lower lip while she smiled. And the smile was like the shadow of death and the seal of damnation upon her pure young face.
"Of course,"
said Sir Hugh very slowly, and still looking out at the trees.
"If you have made up your mind to be married, I cannot hinder you. And I don't suppose you attach the smallest importance to my consent."
"Father!" exclaimed Gabriel reproachfully.
"No, I do not deceive myself,"
continued the old man, smiling terribly.
"You will marry when I am dead, though there is a very good reason why you had better not. Why you had better not,"
he repeated very emphatically, and he slowly turned his toad eyes upon the lovers.
"What reason?" asked Evelyn in a frightened voice.
"Never mind the reason, my dear. You will marry just as if it did not exist."
There was a long pause.
"Two gone,"
he said, his voice lowering strangely,
"and two more will be four. All together, forever and ever, burning, burning, burning bright."
At the last words his head sank slowly back, and the little glare of the toad eyes disappeared under the swollen lids, and the lurid cloud passed from the westering sun, so that the earth was green again and the light pure. Sir Hugh had fallen asleep, as he often did in his last illness, even while speaking. Gabriel Ockram drew Evelyn away, and from the study they went out into the dim hall, softly closing the door behind them, and each audibly drew breath as though some sudden danger had been passed. They laid their hands each in the other's, and their strangely like eyes met in a long look, in which love and perfect understanding were darkened by the secret terror of an unknown thing. Their pale faces reflected each other's fear.
"It is his secret," said Evelyn at last. "He will never tell us what it is."
"If he dies with it," answered Gabriel, "let it be on his own head." "On his head," echoed the dim hall. It was a strange echo, and some were frightened by it, for they said that if it were a real echo, it should repeat everything and not give back a phrase here and there, now speaking, now